Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Reading verses 8 through 11. You'll find this on page 101 in your pew Bible. Of course, a very familiar passage, not just because we've had a number of sermons on this topic, but also because this, of course, is part of the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment. And so, page 101, Exodus chapter 20, reading verses 8 through 11. Hear now the word of God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today we look at this passage and the other passages we have read under this theme. God tells us that Sabbath observance is of great importance. God tells us that Sabbath observance is of great importance. This is the seventh sermon in this mini-series on the fourth commandment. It actually dated back to last fall, as you may recall. And then I had a little incident with heart surgery that interrupted the series. But going back then to the fall and continuing on into the spring here, in this sixth part, in the first six sermons, we saw several things. We saw, first of all, that Christ commands us to worship on the first day of the week. We explained why we now worship on the first day. That rest, worship, and mercy. And remember, we rung the changes. We rang the changes on that, did we not, children? Rest, worship, and mercy are the three basic characteristics of the Sabbath. We rest from our normal labors, but we also rest in Christ. We use this opportunity as a time for worship, but also that we are able, as Jesus clearly showed, to show mercy to others. Rest, worship, and mercy. Thirdly, we saw that the Sabbath is perpetual. It is eternal. It's not just for the children of Israel in the Old Testament, but it's for us in the New Testament as well. And there are many good reasons for why that is. Fourth, that we are not to profane it, regard it as common, in other words. We're not to profane it or treat it with disrespect by sin or carelessness. And furthermore, fifthly, that we are to refrain from worldly employments and recreations on it. And then last week, we looked at the three great spheres of family, church, and state, and showed that each of those spheres has a duty to preserve and promote the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, let me just mention that it is no accident that the fourth commandment is directed to superiors. You'll notice in Exodus 8, verse 10, it says, "You shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates." In other words, it is specifically directed to fathers. We could perhaps argue fathers and mothers, but certainly it is directed to those who have responsibility for others. They who are in a position of authority are to see that those under their care observe this day. Dr. Greg Bahnsen was a wonderful theologian of the 20th century who I was privileged to have as a professor. He required in seminary that no work for his courses be done on Sunday. When I've coached basketball in the past, I instructed my players not to practice on the Lord's Day. The superiors then, those in authority, are not to succumb to the temptation to work their people on Sunday. But more than that, they can set a good example as well by themselves not working on the Lord's Day. I'm reminded of the famous Philadelphia department store owner. I think it was Wanamaker. I could be mistaken. You know how you have these display windows in a store, right? So you're passing by, and of course you're looking at the dresses or, you know, whatever. Do you know what he did on Saturday night? He closed the drapes on his store window Saturday night, so people walking by wouldn't be tempted on Sunday. Isn't that interesting? And also, as we, by way of introduction today, we want to see that the Sabbath is a key concept. It is a very important idea for Scripture. It is, in many ways, a sign of the covenant. Now, we usually think of the sacraments as signs, and that's certainly true. But there is a sense in which the Sabbath itself is a sign of the covenant. That is to say, if you're a Christian, then you should want to keep the Sabbath because it's part and parcel of our identity, if you will. Breaking it, by the way, could, certainly under the old covenant, could result in very serious consequences. Well, first of all, today we want to look at the four reasons annexed to the fourth commandment, and then the little word remember. But let's first then look at the four reasons annexed to the fourth commandment as we demonstrate that Sabbath observance is of great importance. Well, the first thing we see then is God's equity and fairness. God's equity and fairness. You know, God allows us 6 days to do our worldly employments and recreations. He requires only 1 day out of 7 in return. How much fairer can that be? The same way he expects a tithe. All money belongs to him, but he gives 9/10 of it for us to use and requires just the 1/10. So God's equity and fairness. Secondly, God's command and precept. God's command and precept. There is a specialness to the Sabbath. It belongs, as we read here in Exodus 20, verse 10, it is of the Lord your God. It belongs to him in a very special way. The Sabbath itself is holy. It has been set apart by God. And so we have God's command and precept. Thirdly, we have God's example. You know, it's interesting, is it not, that the sacrament is built in many ways upon the creation, the whole creation ordinance. That is to say, God, what did God himself do, children? He rested on the seventh day from his own work, did he not? Even though God didn't have to rest, he never gets tired, obviously. He is God. But he himself rested, as it were, from all the works of his creation. And even so, we, following his example, should rest in God. And then fourthly, we have God's blessing. God's blessing. He sanctified, he set apart the Sabbath to be a holy day for his service. He sanctified it and set it apart as a holy day for his service. He has ordained it as a means of blessing to us in our sanctifying of it. So we receive blessing spiritually, first of all. We need this day. We need this day. I mean, think if you didn't have a Sunday, if you didn't have a Lord's Day, you were just part of the rat race, if you will. Just think what a terrible effect that would have upon you in terms of your spirit, in terms of your commitment to God, your commitment to Christ, your love for Christ. Spiritually, we need this day. Physically, we need rest from our labors. Physically, we need rest. It has been demonstrated scientifically that the body wears out much faster without proper rest one day each 7. One of the challenges that preachers have in terms of when is the preacher's Sabbath, right? But it's been demonstrated that the body wears out much faster without proper rest one day each 7. This principle is true of animals as well. And economically, we need it. Do you know that the United Kingdom, Great Britain, in World War I discovered that it obtained far greater efficiency from its workers? They are in the middle of the war. It obtained far greater efficiency from its workers when it allowed them a day off each week, even as it was fighting the war. In World War II, an Orlando, Florida boat builder who had a federal contract to build landing craft shut down every Sunday. And not only exceeded the minimum number of boats, but outstripped other factories that were working 7 days a week. Isn't that amazing? The government didn't want him to be off on Sunday, but he said, no, I'll be off on Sunday. I'm going to shut it down on the Lord's Day. And he actually outshone those that were open 7 days a week. We know from Mark 2, verse 27, as we also talk about, as we also consider not just these four reasons, but we also, as we come into the New Testament, as we look at Mark 2, 27, we remember that Jesus said that man was made for God, but the Sabbath is made for man and is for his good. And so we find that the Lord Jesus himself affirmed that in the Gospel of Mark. So, we have reasons, not just a bare command, although God was certainly capable of doing that, but there are reasons why he gives us these commands. They are for our good. Children, the law of God is for our good. God is not some horrible tyrant, you see, that just wants to exercise his power. He exercises his power in such a way as to be of benefit to us. And that is certainly true what we have in terms of the fourth commandment. But now we also want to consider the very first word of the fourth commandment, and it is remember. Remember. It is in, this word remembers, in the beginning of the commandment because, first of all, by remembering it, we are helped to keep it. So I'm sure that perhaps you have put a little thread on your finger to remind you of something. Of course, then you forget what it was supposed to remind you of, right? But anyway, but you know what I'm saying. Or you put something on your phone as a reminder. The alert comes and so forth. And so there is a remembrance. And so as we remember it, as we bring it to mind, we are helped to keep it. By keeping it, we are helped to keep the rest of the commandments. And it's, this law, the fourth commandment, is, in a sense, one of the linchpins of the covenant and one of the linchpins of the law. It helps us to keep the rest of the commandments, because it forces us, as it were, to consider that there is one day out of seven where we are required to set aside all consideration, all the other things of this life, in order to be focused on God. And by keeping the commandments, we are enabled to continue a thankful reminder or thankful remembrance of the two great works of creation and providence. We are able to continue a thankful remembrance of the two great works of creation and providence. Verse 11 here, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day," but also his providence over our work. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Creation and providence. We could say a short summary of religion. But as we look at this word remember, I would also note that it's there at the beginning of the commandment, for we are so apt to forget it because, first of all, why are we apt to forget it? Because there is less light of nature for it. Now, we know in terms of a year, right? We know in terms of a year, in terms of the transit of the sun across the sky and then coming back to the same place. Just, you know, we have the spring equinox and so forth. And so we have then we know from looking at the sky, from looking in terms of astronomy, in terms of the year. We also know in terms of the month. What governs the month? It's the moon that goes through its various phases. But there is no astronomical reason for this 1 in 7 pattern. And so God is saying to us, even though, of course, it's because of creation itself, but there's nothing in creation, there's nothing in the stars, if you will, or the heavenly bodies, that gives us instruction on this. There is less light of nature for it. And that's why God is saying, don't forget, remember. Furthermore, it comes only once every 7 days, with much worldly distraction in between. Much worldly distraction in between. And so we find then that when that happens, that it's easy to forget. Thirdly, we are so apt to forget it because Satan and his followers try to blot out its glory and its memory and all religion and devotion with it. It was Voltaire, who was a pagan philosopher in the 1700s. It was Voltaire who said, "Destroy the Sabbath and you destroy Christianity." And you look at the French Revolution, a generation or so later, and that's exactly what they tried to do. Destroy the Sabbath, and then the church doesn't have the opportunity, at least not in the same way, to engage in worship. And so if you want to attack Christianity, you do so by undermining and attacking the Sabbath. But also, we are so apt to forget it, not only because there's less light of nature for it, not only because it comes only once every 7 days with much distraction in between, not only because Satan and his followers try to blot out the glory and the memory of it, but also because man always tries to replace it with his own holy days. Now, this is why I had us read today 1 Kings chapter 12. And so look with me there, 1 Kings chapter 12. This, of course, is when the northern tribes, the 10 northern tribes, split from the southern tribes, from Judah. 1 Kings chapter 12, And so Rehoboam was the king in the south of Judah with Benjamin and the Levites. The 10 northern tribes were led by Jeroboam. So you had Rehoboam, and then you had Jeroboam in terms of the northern nation of Israel. And so what is Jeroboam trying to do? As you look at the end of 1 Kings chapter 12, he's concerned, is he not? He's concerned that the people of God, who are so used to going back to Jerusalem for worship, would do the same thing. And therefore, he had to set up competition with what was going on in Jerusalem. And so what did he do? He set up these golden calves from Dan to Beersheba, north to south. And notice, though, which is, look at verse 31. He made shrines on the high places, made priests from every class of people who are not of the sons of Levi. They're just regular old people that had no calling. But then it's very clear in verses 32 and 33. He ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah, so it had some resemblance of it, offered sacrifices on the altar. He did at Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made. At Bethel, he installed the priests of the high places which he had made. Verse 33, so he made offerings on the altar which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month which he had devised in his own heart. Clearly, the Bible is condemning him for this. It was according to his own imagination that he was doing this. And God is not pleased with that. But this is the tendency of man with his superstition, that he is always, by after he forgets the Sabbath, he always tries to set up his own days of his own holy days. Then if you look at Galatians 4, verses 9 through 11, as we also read, as Paul says, Galatians 4, but now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, poor elements, to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. What is he saying? What is Paul saying? We used to be bound by the ceremonial law, but now we are freed in Christ, even from those laws which God had established under the ceremonial law for the ancient people of Israel. Well, if God has done away even with those feast days that he had originally established, how much more is it the case that we should not institute our own days, days of our own imagination, our own devising? And then you come to Colossians chapter 2. And in Colossians chapter 2, we see that Jesus is the one who has fulfilled the law, verse 14, he wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, nailing it, having nailed it to the cross. He's taken care of that ceremonial law. And therefore, verse 16, so let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, the Old Testament ordinances, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Again, if God has put aside his own provisions that he initially had in order to have this more simple worship in the Christian era, how much more is it the case, as you look at verse 23, that we are not to engage in worship, in self-imposed religion, or will worship, as the King James put it? And so we find then that man always tries to replace it with his own holy days. But instead, we're not to forget the Sabbath. We are to remember it. Well, I have 6 points of application today. The first is this: emphasize and accentuate the positive. emphasize and accentuate the positive. I don't want to be negative about the Sabbath. I want to be positive. The aim of the fourth commandment is not thinking about how many things you can't do on Sunday. Sometimes that's the way people view Sabbatarians or Sabbatarianism. But that's not the point. The goal of Sabbath keeping should be the doing of the things that are required, focusing on why God has given this good gift to us. In that regard, then, secondly, avoid the danger of making lists. Avoid the danger of making lists. Making lists can destroy the spirit of keeping the day holy by concentrating on the lists rather than the Lord. As a matter of fact, in that regard, hypocrisy is always a danger. Well, I don't do this, that, or the other thing, but so-and-so does. Okay? But in point of fact, perhaps we ourselves then are guilty of either breaking that law or breaking other laws in different ways. So therefore, hypocrisy is always a danger. Be careful of that. Be careful of self-righteousness with regard to the Sabbath. My goal then has been in dealing with this law not to make detailed lists or to restrict Christian liberty, but rather to lay out the principles of Sabbath keeping: rest, worship, mercy, and to point out via application some of the things which obviously are out of bounds for Sunday. Thirdly, avoid man-made religious holy days that compete with God's ordinance. Avoid man-made religious holy days, setting up our own superstitious devices that compete with God's Sabbath. That's inevitable. That's inevitable. Why is it? Do you know what creasters are? You heard the word creasters? It is those who only go to church on Christmas and Easter. They're called creasters. So when we set up our own days of worship, our own religious holy days, what happens? All you do is you concentrate on those days, and then you do away with the clear teaching. One day out of seven is devoted to the Lord. The Sabbath is our holy day. Fourthly, follow godly examples. And here I point, as I've mentioned before, to Stonewall Jackson, who not only tried to avoid as much as possible from fighting on the Lord's Day, but he tried to keep the Sabbath in other ways too. For example, once he had received a letter. It had been sent to him, and he received it like on Sunday, I guess, early Sunday morning. He refused to open it. He figured, well, whatever news it has, it's not going to do any good for me anyway. So he held on to it until Monday. And guess what? In the meantime, the disturbing news that was in that letter had been overridden by other news that came in. He would have been fretting about this all throughout the Lord's Day, but because he kept to his principle of not opening the letter, the Lord blessed him in that regard. So follow godly examples. We talked about Eric Little, the Flying Scotsman, who refused to run 100 years ago, refused to run on the Sabbath at the Olympics. Fifthly, keep the whole day holy. Keep the whole day holy. Remember, it's not keep a couple of hours holy. It's keep the Sabbath day holy. The whole day is to be dedicated to the Lord. I said this before, I'll say it again. The fourth commandment does not say, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, unless, of course, the Falcons are playing. It doesn't say that, does it? Keep the whole day holy. And finally, sixthly, remember that Sabbath keeping is a matter of faith. It is an act of faith not to work on Sunday. It's an act of faith. It's a way of putting trust in God that He can supply all your needs if you work 6 and not 7 days a week. Just like the tithe is an act of faith in terms of money. As my mom used to say, she never understood the Lord's arithmetic. How can you make it on 9/10 when we would have difficulty making it on 10/10? And yet, in point of fact, when you give the Lord His tithe, what happens? He blesses you. And so it is in terms of this. In terms of this token, if you will, of one day out of 7. It is an act of faith not to work on Sunday, but it is also a statement of faith. It is a belief that God is the Lord and Creator. He has given us this law. Further, it is a belief in Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead and is the Lord of the Sabbath. It is a belief in eternal rest, and implicitly, quite frankly, of the destination of those apart from that rest. But it's a belief in eternal rest, and it's a belief. Let me just pause here a minute. It's a belief in eternal rest. It is again a way of our saying this home. This world is not our home. We are headed towards heaven. And so this is one of the ways in which we express that belief that we really are headed home. And in this regard of it being a statement of faith, it is a belief that can elicit the world's awe or wonder or even despising. In New York, my folks, especially my mom, this was 40 some odd years ago, lived in a subdivision, and mom had the green thumb, and so she set up a garden, a vegetable garden, which, by the way, at that point, she was ahead of her time, I suppose, but at that point, that was unheard of, so she was the only person in the neighborhood that had a garden out back. But you know what people noticed as well? Is that she never tended the garden on the Lord's Day. She'd make a big deal about it. But they noticed that. Isn't that interesting? And so it's a belief that can elicit the world's awe and wonder or even despising of making fun of those that would keep the Sabbath. But not only is it an act of faith not to work on Sunday, and not only is it a statement of faith, my friends, it is done because of faith. You must have faith in Jesus Christ, who kept the Sabbath perfectly for you and suffered because of your desecrations of it. It's done because of faith, because you believe in Jesus. Keeping the Sabbath is a sign that you do have this faith and that God is at work in you. Children, don't ever forget this. Older person, never forget this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Amen. Will you please stand for prayer? And Lord, we do thank Thee for the Sabbath. We thank Thee, Father, for what Thou hast done for us in and through Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that we would be those who are identified with Christ, and that we would remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Even as Jesus, on the Sabbath, according to His custom, went to the synagogue, went to worship. So, O Lord, may we follow that pattern as well. and do so as we are united with Christ and as we have faith in him, indeed in him who not only died for us, but who rose again on the first day of the week. So Lord, bless this message to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name.